Are you tired of the typical libraries with conventional music that makes you feel meh? Introducing Lyrics.com, the music website made for and by minds like you. Our team are lifelong musicians and producers in love with music. Search the Lyrics music catalogs and find music with guaranteed originality. Mark the difference with Music of Signature at Lyrics.com.
This is the song Neverless. Neverless. Sounds amazing. And this is by a band called Night Swims. And we have the leader and songwriter, a lot more, with us today, Michael Thomas. Hi, Michael. How's it going?
I'm well, Anton. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, a pleasure. This sounds incredible. I'm blown away with the air section, and it's really cohesive. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. Nevertheless, so why don't you, take the chance and introduce yourself and talk to us about this song and the rest of your project.
Yeah, so I started this project at the beginning of the pandemic. I'd been in a bunch of bands. Nothing ever really went anywhere, and I always played guitar, bass, other instruments for other people's acts, and finally just decided to take the reins and begin writing the songs myself and constructing sort of my vision for this project. And so when I began writing, it took a little bit under a year to put a bunch of songs together that would eventually become our first album, Idlewild, which was released on February 11th. And this is the first single from the album. And during that time period of writing, I just put our group together slowly but surely. Went through probably about 15 different players before I settled on my bassist, and now who's becoming a pretty strong member in the writing force for our new material that we're working on. His name is David Savoyan, and then we also found a drummer named Nathan Atwood, who is, in my opinion, probably the best drummer I've ever been able to play with. So it kind of rounded out the group very nicely. And, we rely quite a bit on the dynamics in our music. So it's a pretty important part of this group, is that you kind of know your role, know how to play to the music. And I was fortunate enough to find these two guys that definitely can do that.
Beautiful.
And, yeah, I was always quite influenced by English music growing up from a pretty young age, and I think that definitely is heard in the sound. One of my biggest inspirations is a guy named Jason Pierce, who is basically the sole member of a group called Spiritualized, and that was a huge influence on me. Around 15 years old, it was a pretty pivotal moment for me, where I just saw I was into like punk rock and heavier stuff, and he kind of opened my eyes a bit to how you can make heavy music beautiful, and how you can strip it back and play around with the nuances of dynamics within music in a way that I hadn't yet heard. And that was a pretty lasting effect. And then I started looking at songwriting in a very different way at that point. Instead of just making a bunch of noise, you know, I could put together something and more of a composition rather than just a song. And I think that was definitely my aim with this first album. You know, throughout the whole thing, you'll hear a lot of horns sections, string sections, and you know, though the music itself is very much driven by guitar, I think that every piece has become just as vital, and that's what excites me. I mean, at the end of the day, of course, I would love for this to resonate with as many people as possible, but I wrote this for me, and I think that is, you know, not always the wisest decision, maybe as far as, you know, trying to become a mainstream act, but I think it becomes more personal, and that's the music that has ultimately spoken to me more than anything else throughout my life. And so I'm really excited to get this album out there. It took about 2 years in total in making it. We actually recorded it originally back in the spring of 2021. I rented a cabin up in Idlewild, California, which is in the mountains.
Beautiful.
And was trying to go for, I guess, some sort of like Uma Guma situation, which is just locking the band members in a house for a week and seeing what happens. And we got some really beautiful, moments. But ultimately, when I came down from the mountain and started the editing process, it was like, it was a bit, because, you know, we were taking this all on ourselves. Like we self-funded, self-engineered. And it was one of those moments where it's like, okay, we got a lot of really great stuff, but this is not the album that I ultimately wanted to release. So we took about 6 months and really kind of just dialed in and honed the music even further. And then in October, we got together with a guy named Ben Moore at Singing Serpent Studios in San Diego, and spent about 3 months recording with him, and ultimately assisted in the mixing of the album, and finished it up on January 15th and sent it out to be mastered, and then it was released. So that's where we are now.
Incredible. Wonderful story. Amazing. There's so many things you touch upon that I was impressed by, right? So first of all, you know, what motivated you to take this step and begin, you know, writing your own songs and like from helping others creating their music onto creating your own music?
Well, the biggest thing was that, you know, I mean, I was always under, I took the Miles Davis approach to creating my own music, right? It's when I started writing songs, because I've been writing songs since I was about 9 years old. When I first picked up a guitar, it wasn't like I wanted to be the greatest guitarist in the world. I had no interest in that. When I first picked up a guitar, I just started strumming and singing. So it was definitely something that was in me from a very young age, where it's, you know, my motivation was I just wanted to write songs, and I didn't realize it at that time, you know, that that's ultimately what I wanted to be. But that's how I got started. And I got kind of, when I say the Miles Davis approach, he had this theory that you can't really speak to anyone until you've lived something worth speaking. And so I felt as though if I started writing songs and without really living a life first, it wasn't going to be honest and it wasn't going to be sincere. And so I really believed, without trying to be contrived, that I had to go make mistakes and, you know, have challenges that would ultimately inspire better and more sincere and honest music. And I think I've done that, you know, to my own dismay at times. And now, you know, around the time that I started writing these, it felt like the moment. It was like, okay, you know, I feel like I have something to say. I feel like I have a story to tell. And ultimately, storytelling is what music is to me. You know, though I enjoy classical music, I think I was much more inspired by like early 1900s American music as far as the songwriting is concerned. You know, the storytellers are what have really gotten me off through the years. You know, I digress, but you know, Hank Williams, a lot of the early 1930s, 1940s country music is all about storytelling, and a lot of those guys live those stories, and that to me makes that music timeless and makes it inspiring. And you know, you kind of continue through that vein, and you know, you go into the 60s and with a lot of you know, that psych rock music and stuff like that, which I was a huge fan of. So I like to combine sort of both worlds, you know, the storytelling of folk and early American music with sort of like the exploration of sound that, you know, a lot of bands in the 60s implemented. And then, yeah, so ultimately it felt like the right time to start really delving into my own songwriting and really expressing myself and trying to get my story out there.
Makes sense. How about the stories? You know, what type of... And the question that I want to ask you is, from your inspiration 100 years ago or 50 years ago, what do you think are the stories that are still relevant? And, you know, do you find that you have lived and you are telling similar stories or the same concepts that are still relevant from your inspiration?
Yeah, the human struggle, you know, like, I mean, life is hard, and, you know, you can be polarized so easily by politics and, you know, current events in the world, but a lot of that is fleeting. And I mean, people tend to forget yesterday very easily, but what they don't forget is the mistakes they've made. You know, like you can talk to somebody who has had all the successes in the world, but they still remember that one mistake that they made when they were 12 years old, or, you know, the wrong thing they said or the wrong thing they did. That's what resonates and sticks with them and helps them grow as a human being. And that to me is timeless. You know, I think, you know, we kind of live in a time where people need to hear that others are going through the same thing as them, maybe in a different way, but they're still struggling the same way. They're still dealing with the repercussions of maybe things that they regret. And I think that is important and vital within storytelling, within music, because art is not supposed to be, in my opinion, it's supposed to be relatable, not divisive. And, you know, I don't care who you are, what you've done. If my music resonates with you in a certain way, great. you know, and that's what's most important to me, is that I can speak to you on a human level through what I write. And I think that that's been lost currently in a lot of music. I think we're at a really interesting time as far as what's being produced and what's being put out there, because everything is kind of subverted to genre, you know. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it's always been the case where, you know, when I was young, you know, like me and my friends getting together in a garage, it's like, what kind of music do we want to play? And it's like, oh, we want to sound like these guys or that. But then as you sort of evolve and become a bit more of a mature musician, you start to realize that, oh, I want to do something different, and I don't want to sound like these guys, but I want to take some of the things that resonated with me with what they had to say and carry that into what I do.
Right.
And I think that is ultimately what's most important to me, and what I think is kind of timeless is the human struggle. And, you know, that's what I've taken out of a lot of music that I've listened to growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. I you're absolutely on point. You know, music is really powerful. It's really powerful. So, you know, you can use it for good or not. So you were the original composer of all of his songs, 10 songs of this album.
Yeah.
And so did you record demos? How was the process, really? So did you have like guitar and voice type of thing, or started recruiting musicians? How was that process? If you can speak to that, please.
Yeah, of course. I mean, to be perfectly frank with you, I wrote these songs over and over, hundreds of times. Like, I started, you know, when I started writing these, I was recording at home and, you know, putting together the original sketches. And, you know, some songs will start with a guitar melody. Some songs I wrote to a drum beat that I created. And, you know, some songs started off as sort of like just lyrics. And, you know, I feel privileged to have this, and very fortunate, but I hear melodies in my head, and sometimes they fade, sometimes I discover what exactly it is and how I need to get that sound out of me. And, you know, it can be in a vast array. For instance, there's one song on this album where it just started with a bass line, and from that bass line, I just constructed and built on top of it, and ultimately became like one of my favorite songs on the album. And, you know, generally when you're writing on your own, you don't really start with a bass part. But that's what I think makes a lot of these songs really unique, is that I didn't approach them all in the same way. There's one song on the album, it's the closing song, it's called Special, and that song is incredibly important to me, because that was one of those beautiful moments where I woke up in the middle of the night, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had heard something while I was sleeping, and I just got up and started recording it. And it started with just this piano line that was very simplistic, but really lush and beautiful. And it was a story in specific that I needed to get out of me. And it just all came. I wrote that song in 20 minutes. And then there's other songs like the first song on the album, Catcher, that song took me 9 months to write, you know? And I mean, that's not abnormal. There's tons of musicians that sometimes it takes them years to write a song. But that's what I was fortunate, in a lot of ways. And, you know, to the destruction of so many others with what this pandemic brought. And I sympathize and empathize with a lot of people that, you know, lost a lot or lost everything. What the pandemic did for me, though, was it gave me time. And that's something that I needed. I needed time. I needed to be able to just insert myself into a lifestyle and a position to where I could just wake up and work and be undisturbed and not have to worry about the daily kind of grind that we all live in. And I just got to sit in it and swim in it. And that really helped in the initial writing process, was being able to just wake up every day and be in it and to stay in it and not have to be disconnected. And so that gave me the opportunity to really put all the cards on the table, like be able to structure these songs in a way that I feel personally is unique, and in a way that when you listen to it, you know that whomever wrote this, man, they spent a lot of fucking time on this, and it shows. And you know, that was the original sort of process of me writing these songs, and also not getting outside influence. Like, at the time, you know, I didn't have a band. I didn't have anybody sitting next to me telling me, oh, go this direction or go that direction. It just let me keep that experimentation and keep all those really, like, kind of crazy ideas that I wanted to try out for these songs and really meld them and make them into a functional piece of music. And, you know, that's one thing that being in bands before, I felt when there's too many voices in the room, you can often lose a lot of what is unique or special about something. And when it's just you, you don't really have that. And so when I did the initial recordings and writings for these, I didn't have anybody. So once I did get other people involved, it's like, okay, I got these songs, you know, they're structured. They're well fleshed out. Now let's add the elements that you can offer to these. And that's where David came into play. That's where Nathan came into play. You know, it's one of those things where it was so serendipitous. It was like, it was meant to be, because these guys were looking for something in the same way. Like, they were looking for something different, kind of experimental, but still has some of that pop sensibility to it.
And really special, yes. You know, you touch upon a concept that I totally agree. And I think you can connect it with that moment when you were dreaming of, and I think this happens to every, or to many songwriters. You're dreaming of a song and you hear the last detail of it. And you wake up, you really want to capture that. And I think you make reference to that minimal, small distraction for a fraction of a second that can just eliminate that and throw you out of the other course.
Yeah. I think, you know, that the chance of not having that distraction really helped me just stay in that moment, you know, and you know, being kind of in this solitude, it can drive you absolutely crazy, right? I mean, there's tons of people that unfortunately really had to face who they really were in isolation, and they didn't like what they found, man. And I've lived so much of my life inside my head and in isolation that I was used to it. And so I was thriving in it rather than falling apart.
Absolutely. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Okay, let's talk of, if you want, you know, the future. And look at it with optimism. If you were absolutely unable to fail whatsoever, what type of future do you see for your music?
So, I mean, my main concern after getting this first record done is to get more records done and to hopefully elevate. And, you know, I set a pretty high bar for myself with this first album. I think that ultimately the next one will be even better, I hope. You know, I mean, that's definitely something I'm working towards. And I think the difference between, you know, whatever I create after this is going to be that, okay, I put something out in the world. People are going to either love it or hate it. I don't think there's much medium in between. I want to challenge the listener. That's my main goal. I want to challenge the perception, you know, and going back to sort of my earlier point about people kind of subverting the genre and people getting complacent and comfortable within that. I want to break free of that. And that is my goal as an artist, is to challenge you as a listener and to make you uncomfortable and, you know, to make you think, okay, so music can be more than just, you know, a verse chorus, or, you know, it can be more than garage rock. It can be more than hip hop. It can be more than just a country album. You know, like, I think that's my main goal. You know, I didn't realize, I think, until people started telling me, oh, your music's alternative, that it's alternative music. You know, I looked at it as music. Like, to me, it has, a lot of these songs have so many different genres combined within them that I was just like, when people would ask me, what kind of music do you play? I didn't really have an answer for them. And I liked that. I liked being able to not have an answer. So as long as I continue making music where I don't really have an answer for what it is, I think I'll be satisfied and I'll be pleased. I think the moment that I start going after, okay, I'm going to make a, you know, I'm going to make a psych rock record, you know, and I'm just going to take a bunch of Beach Boys songs and add a whole bunch of reverb, and that's what I'm going to do. I think that'll get boring for me. As long as I'm not bored, I'm going to be happy with whatever music I make.
I love it. We need explorers like yourself to get to new places that we don't know that exist. All right, so in terms of playing live, is this something that you're considering that you are going to do?
Oh yeah, so I've been playing live with the band since July. You know, we live in California, and the restrictions were pretty heavy up until late summer of 2021. So as soon as things started opening up, we played a show at the end of July, and we've been playing pretty steady, at least two shows a month generally. Since then, we actually have a show coming up in LA this coming week, and we got a bunch of shows in LA over the next 6 months, as well as down in San Diego, and we're starting to put together a string of dates for later in the year, trying to do our first tour. You know, it's been one of those things where the first few months was kind of working out the kinks of getting this music to be, getting this music to resonate live the way that it does on the record. You know, it's a challenge because there's a lot of instruments on it, and there's a lot of different pieces that without them, the music might not, you know, come through as well. And so I think, you know, now that the record's out and people are going to hear it, I want them to be able to experience that live in a way that is true to what I put down on recording. And so I think a big aim of mine and the rest of the guys is to elevate our live sound to the point to where, okay, they released a great record. What are they going to do live with it? Oh, wow, they're just as good live. That's kind of our aim now, is to bring this music to life in a live environment that is noteworthy. And I think we're slowly getting there, you know, like it's always, this is backwards, like how we did this. You know, bands often play live for a few years and then they record an album. We did it opposite, you know, and I think that's really, you know, that can be very challenging. You know, we made this huge kind of sonically sounding record, and now we have to figure out how to play it live rather than vice versa. And so eventually what I would love to do is get a proper orchestra involved, you know, to play the string parts, to play the horn parts. You know, I would love to, as far as like venues playing live, I mean, I would love to play some of these halls and some of these theaters that my inspiration and my influences as far as musicians and artists are concerned have played. You know, one of my favorite live performances of all time is Bjork at the Royal Albert Hall. And, you know, she carries a whole orchestra with her when she goes on tour. And that to me is the goal. Like I would love it to where there's 50 musicians sitting on stage with me, ready to play the music that I put together.
Wonderful. That would be super beautiful to see. Just envisioning the way that your music sounds, as the way that we hear it. You know, this particular song, Nevertheless. That would be absolutely impressive.
Yeah, that song's an interesting one. You know, like that. You know, I preluded earlier to that song Special that I wrote in 20 minutes. I wrote that one in a day. That one just came. That was like a pop song.
Nice.
It was very easy to write. You know, it's got a bit of that like sort of like psych rock element to its spaciness, but it's ultimately a pop song, and it's very much, in my opinion, it's the outlier of the album. You know, like it's the one that hopefully will get people to be like, oh yeah, invite people in. And
yes,
you know, that's where they can start to explore and ultimately, you know, to my dismay, here's a little bit of pun, but swim in our album with us, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where the name Night Swims came into play.
It is a beautiful name.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you.
Again, we have Michael Thomas from Night Swims. And Michael, if you had the opportunity to speak to your younger self, and, you know, what type of advice would you give?
If I had the ability to speak to my younger self, listen more. That'd be the advice. It'd be pretty simple. Listen more. Don't wait for your chance to speak.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cut and dry for me. Listen more.
Fantastic. Again, well, thank you so much. This has been fantastic. Very complete and, you know, insightful conversation with somebody very, very interesting to discuss. Michael Thomas, and the project, the band, is once again Night Swims. Night Swims. We're listening to Nevertheless. want to thank you again, Thomas, so much. Appreciate your time and wish you all the best.
You as well. I appreciate you, Antoine.
Absolutely. All right, let's enjoy a little bit more of Nevertheless.
Of the typical libraries with conventional music that makes you feel meh. Introducing Lyrics.com, the music website made for and by minds like you. Our team are lifelong musicians and producers in love with music. Search the Lyrics music catalogs and find music with guaranteed originality. Mark the difference with Music of Signature at Lyrics.com.